Another Winky Wednesday episode here on Locked On 49ers. Post-draft, we are talking Deebo Samuel signing. Could that be potentially happening? What is going on with the San Francisco 49ers? A strange offseason continues, but there are new rookies in-house. Let's get into it on today's Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock, Eric Crocker with you here on another Winky Wednesday episode. At the Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker, and
Nicholas Winkler. Come on down.
At Bay Area Wink.
Can't believe it.
And we're talking NFL draft, Wink. What do you think? You excited about the 49ers draft haul throughout the weekend? Not so much Thursday, but Friday and Saturday, really getting after it. 9 picks, including a third round running back. What are your thoughts? I know in the Oblong Balls Fantasy Football League, Tyrion Davis Price is very
going
likely
early
on QB Punk's roster in that draft.
It's so funny. When I saw that happen, I immediately thought, wow, Peacock's pissed. Like, they should know better than to draft an early running back. Peacock preaches it all the time. What are they doing?
You know, the thing about it is, like, it's pick 93. That's not necessarily too early to go running back if you get a star running back. But just the way it went down with the 49ers and last year, what did they do? They drafted a sort of bigger bodied running back in round three. And then drafted two offensive linemen. And they did the same thing this year. It's like, okay, well, how many guards do you need? How many big-bodied running backs that are going to be outplayed by somebody else do you need? And I don't know if Ty Davis Price is going to be outplayed by anybody, but it was just a curious move. It was a very interesting move. Do you feel as odd about it as I do, or do you think running back was a bigger need than I thought it was? Because a lot of people point to, okay, Deebo Samuel, first of all, Tyrion Davis Price, just like we, and it's funny because I preach this all draft season long about everyone trying to find the next Deebo. It's like, stop looking at these wide receivers. Deebo's really unique. Nobody's the next Deebo. And then the 49ers draft a running back, and it's like, oh, well, this is obvious because you want to give Deebo Samuel less carries.
Well, that's the problem, right? Last year. That's why Deebo did it. They ran out of running backs.
I don't know if that's why, but also, what makes Deebo Deebo is that he's a wide receiver playing running back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But that's why he had to play running back.
He'd be less valuable.
Or is he a running back playing wide receiver?
He might be. That's how they want to pay him. That's like, for sure.
You can't replace Deebo by just putting another running back in there that plays running back. You've already had the entire history of the National Football League has been running backs playing running back. Deebo is not, you know, so it's like, I understand not wanting to use Deebo as a running back, but it wouldn't change what you're trying to do at running back just because you don't want Deebo to do it, and you're not going to have the same style of runner. And Ty Davis Price is not the same style of runner as Deebo Samuel is anyway. So, if he's really good, it's not going to matter. But yeah, I was a little bit surprised that they went round three running back, and we'll talk more about Tyrion Davis Price. He's a pretty good prospect, and I think it'll be exciting. And maybe he'll be a better fantasy football player than my argument against running backs high is that they just don't add a lot to wins and losses in the end. But they will in your fantasy football league. And whoever is this, and I don't know what's going to go on in training camp. Is it going to be like Ty Davis Price gets all the hype, and then Elijah Mitchell becomes the bargain player, but whoever's the second of those two running backs is the one I want to draft, because you always want to draft the second Kyle Shanahan running back, because the first one gets hurt and the second one goes off every single year.
That's why I told my brother. My brother has a dynasty league. He's in the dynasty league, and he has Elijah Mitchell. And I said, draft that running back the 49ers just drafted. I said, and just have him sitting behind Elijah Mitchell, because he will play.
Right.
Or maybe now it'll be Sermon's turn to like go big, and he goes big, and nobody else does anything. And
that'll be week two or three that Sermon does that. So just be ready on your waiver wires. I picked up Elijah Mitchell last year off the waiver wires in the Oblong Balls, and it's a defending champion quarterback punt. When you address the team,
that's right. Defending champion.
It's fine.
And if I'm not mistaken, you won by a stat correction.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Buffalo Bills defense was given too many points who I was going up against. So I thought I'd lost for 2 days. And then, you know, when the stat correction went through, it was like, oh, wait, I am the champion. Look at that. That's
pretty amazing. It kind of anticlimactic.
What a wild roller coaster. Right? Was that?
Kind of anticlimactic, right? When you lose.
Well, for me, I thought I'd lost. Yeah. Right. I had to go through all the depression 2 days of like another second place finish. And then like, wait, this is how I'm going to win? This is wild. No, back to the Niners draft. You know, you mentioned it. We talked last week when Kroc was off doing his thing, being big time at the draft, which was awesome, by the way. I tuned in quite a bit, buddy. Well done. Yeah, we were talking about what we thought their needs were, right? And we were like, secondary, offensive line. Like, you know, this is where we didn't mention running back. We're like, maybe running back, maybe wide receiver, this and that. We mentioned edge as maybe. And then it's like, edge, running back, wide receiver. And then, you know, then they started going after some O-linemen and you know, and some secondary help there later. But as it's happening, I'm just like, what are they doing? What's going on here? It also seemed true to form. You know, it just seemed like the Niners go for their board. They don't go with, this is an area we need, so we're going to take the best guy there. No, we're going to go with our best available player that we have on our board. And they were clearly doing that because those weren't exactly areas of need.
And I do agree with that philosophy. I'm really big on taking the highest player on your board rather than, oh, I need a center, so let me draft a center with my first pick. Because if you look at the 49ers and a lot of their picks and who's been the most successful, it has been guys in, you know, fifth round, sixth round. Like, you've gotten guys that contribute in any round. So I don't care where you take the guy, just take them. But if we're talking about value and taking the running back in the third round, like, that's where it's like, I get taking the best player on your board, but where does that fall in the value of things? Where maybe there's a defender that would have a little bit more impact than a running back, unless this running back, if we're talking about he's coming in and he's going to be your two down back and then Elijah Mitchell's going to kind of spare him. Like, if you're planning on utilizing him that way, then I get it. But, and I get the gripe with a lot of fans, Kroc, all the injuries, Kroc, Debo Samuel had to do this, then the other. And it's like, I get the, okay, then draft a guy fourth round, fifth round, sixth round. Why does that have to be third round? That's still, to me, a premium pick. Like, a day two pick is still a premium pick to me.
You should be trying to draft starters in rounds one through three.
So, yeah, and if he's going to start, then that's different. Like, if you're telling me you don't plan on starting Elijah Mitchell and you feel like either this guy will push him to start over him or just in general, it was just the goal to start this guy, then that's different. All right, like, good job. But if you don't view him that way and you draft a guy in the third round, which to me, day two, that's a premium pick. And it's just to kind of, you know, okay, Elijah Mitchell, oh, it might be a little banged up this week. Or, oh, we don't want to have Elijah Mitchell run 27 times, just 20 times, and somebody else gets another seven. Then that's when I'm going to be like, all right, come on, where's the value in that?
The argument
is Sermon a third round pick?
Who's that?
Wasn't Sermon a third round pick?
Yeah, they traded up in the third round to get him last year. Yeah. And
you could learn from it.
That's that. What's funny is, part of it is like, oh, it's a bigger back, so he won't get injured. Sermon got hurt on his first carry. Remember that?
He got blown up.
Yeah.
Did he fumble too?
But the argument that you need to draft a running back early because they get hurt so often is the argument why you don't draft running backs early, because they get hurt too often. Right? So you don't. So,
but if you have a large role for this guy, I get it. Like, if you tell me he's Najee Harris and you plan on utilizing them that way, then great. And I'm not saying, listen, some of the things like Frank Gore was a third round pick, I get it. Maybe there was something they didn't like about Kevin Barlow. All right. But again, if you're telling me that they don't like Elijah Mitchell the way we think they do, then that's a totally different story. And I won't complain at all.
Yeah.
But if you really like Elijah Mitchell, then that's when it's like, man, I mean, I'll be keeping an eye on Nick Cross, because that's who I thought they were going to take at that point, where I thought the value met one of the best players available, potentially. I don't know how their board was, but I'm going to be keeping an eye on how well Cross does as opposed to the running back and what they get out of him. And if they get a lot out of him, then I was wrong and they were right.
Yeah. And so, you're definitely not trying to draft a backup running back in the third round, you know, unless he's like this.
You would think not.
Different dynamic type of a dude.
Ideally.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And I want to talk a little bit about safety, a little bit about center later, because those were the two biggest needs going in, and they didn't draft either one, really. So let's talk a little bit about that coming up next. I want to talk about where the 49ers are at with Debo, some of the offers. We have gotten some confirmation on what those offers were that the 49ers turned down during the draft for Debo Samuel and where that situation is now coming up. But first, I want to tell the folks out there about Blue Nile. If you are struggling, as I tend to, trying to buy a gift for a woman, whether it is an engagement ring or it is a Mother's Day gift, they will help you at BlueNile.com to celebrate all of those special moments in life, creating the custom engagement ring of her dreams or a timeless jewelry piece at prices that you really won't find at a traditional jeweler. Mark Mother's Day with something enduring. Classic diamond stud earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, birthstone pendants, and so much more at BlueNile.com. And the best part is 24/7, there are experts on hand that can give you advice. Legendary service with 30-day returns as well to find that perfect gift. That gift you that whoever you're buying this gift for will treasure forever. When you commit to a piece, so does Blue Nile, guaranteed service and repair for life. It's pretty amazing stuff there by Blue Nile. So this Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On 49ers listeners get $50 off a $500 purchase. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day. Use promo code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. Make sure you check out everything else going on in the Locked On Podcast Network. Go back and watch all 7+ hours of live coverage featuring Eric Crocker of the NFL draft, or fast forward to the parts where I show up and talk about the 49ers picks. We had a lot of fun there doing the Locked On NFL live show. You want to go to Locked On NFL and subscribe to that channel. Not only do we get content like the live NFL draft coverage, but the Peacock and Williamson NFL show is now on YouTube, started on Tuesday, and we are on the Locked On NFL channel as well. So go subscribe there to Locked On NFL channel on YouTube. All right. So we talked about those needs. Are we looking at George Odom starting strong safety for the 49ers? Is that what's going on here? Is it Tarvarius Moore? Is it Talanoa Hufanga? Or is it just a wide open training camp competition at strong safety because the 49ers bypassed? You mentioned Nick Cross, one of those players. There was a couple other good safeties throughout the draft. The 49ers must be looking at that position a lot differently than we did going into the draft.
I do think you have to evaluate it based on how you feel about the guys that you have in-house and the guy that was available at that pick. So while myself and probably a lot of other 49er fans were clamoring at the thought of, hey, Nick Cross, where I wasn't like super high on him, but I'm just like, man, big upside ability. He's a 4-3 guy with really good size range. Okay, some eye discipline issues. You can fix that. But if they're looking at him like, we know Tarvarius Moore, we know Hufanga, and we like what we've seen from Odom in the NFL, we like those guys over Nick Cross, then I could see a scenario where you don't draft safety at all and you wait until you go get a guy that's undrafted. I think that's the part, and I agree with this. You don't just draft a guy just to draft a guy because people think that that's what you feel is a need, right? Like if you identify the safeties in-house as – legit starters, which I didn't, but they do, then okay, I get why you would pass on them. And that's what they're telling us. No, we have two legit starters here and another guy in Hufanga who can fill in any time. Like, that's how they feel.
Wink, are you comfortable with a life without potentially Alex Mack if he was to retire? Because the 49ers seem to be loading up on guards the last couple of years. And that tells me that if And by drafting no center, that tells me that if Alex Mack does retire, and we still don't have confirmation on that, either he's for sure not going to retire and the Niners know that, or if he does retire, the 49ers are cool with throwing in Jake Brendel or maybe moving. What I think is what would happen is their plan is they would just move Daniel Brunskill to center because now they have all these guards. They drafted two more this year. I think Burford might get a shot at tackle first, but Jalen Moore last year, Aaron Banks last year, or are they Or are they looking at Aaron Banks last year and going, oh no, we screwed up here. Ooh. This guy can't play. So let's draft some more guards to make sure we're covered at this position.
Yeah, I mean, is it easier to turn a center into another position, a guard, or is it easier to turn a guard into a center? You know, they didn't draft any centers. So obviously they thought, you know, these guys, we can just plug them in. You know, so maybe that's the plan. Maybe the plan is, let's bring these guys into camp. Let's see, hey, you're kind of on the bubble right now as a guard. Do you want to try to learn center? It'll increase your chances of making this squad. And I'm sure every single one of them would say yes, right? I mean, you want to play in the NFL. You're going to take whatever position the coach tells you to. And so maybe they envision Brunskill as their starter. Maybe they even like this kid out of Mercer Poe. You know, like, who knows what the 49ers are thinking when it comes to that. But I'm definitely nervous about it. I would love if Matt came back. You know, they signed him a couple of years ago. You thought, he's going to be there for a few years. Solid. Let's go. And now he's gone. Tomlinson's gone. Like, there's a lot of question marks there in the middle of the 49ers offensive line that you got to be a little bit nervous about. So I'm a little confused at why they didn't draft a center, but at the same time, they've got to have a plan, right? Convince me they have a plan. Make me feel better.
We got a plan.
I will say this. West, who, again, I do a podcast with Tony Pauline, and he did say, I think he's in either a late day three undrafted guy. But I know a lot of 49er fans were clamoring at the thought of 49ers drafting West as high as third round. And they end up getting him undrafted. Now, this is a center out of Arizona State. I can guarantee if the 49ers would have drafted him third round, 49er fans would have been super excited. And, oh, man, they drafted a center. Great. You know, but I do think there are some things that he clearly needs to work on in his game. But I think there also is something to having a guy who actually plays center, because that's got to be one of the smartest guys on your offensive line. He's directing a lot of traffic. I know the 49ers use Kyle Juszczyk for that too, but the center has to be in sync with the quarterback and what he's seeing and calling out blitzes and things like that. I think 49ers take some of that off of their quarterback, and it's the center that calls out a lot of that stuff. So, you know, there's that aspect to it too. He needs to just be smart. I don't know if it's as simple as just, oh, this Poe guy out of Mercer is, you know, really short. Big, oh, let's just throw him in that center. And it's like, he's probably looking like, dude, what the hell? I've been just, okay, I've been that guard. I've just been moving forward the whole time. I ain't never had to call out line protections and slide this way and identify the mic and all that type of stuff. So, you know, there's that transition for sure.
Yeah, it's when you have Jimmy Garoppolo and Alex Mack, there's an extra level that you don't really think about a lot of times when you're watching a football game, and it's the game within the game, and just making all the protections, making all the calls up front. If all of a sudden that turns into a rookie center and a second-year 21-year-old quarterback, you know, that's probably not a leap you want to make on offense, aside from all the other things that are going on. And it would really help someone like Trey Lance, I'm sure, to have that veteran up front. So, you know, I'm sure the hope is within the organization that Alex Mack is not going to retire. And they're, I'm sure, planning on a veteran being in there at center. So, you know, that pretty much points to Brunskill, and that's about it on the 49ers roster, if that is the case. You know what's funny about Jason Poe, though, for those of you who don't know, the undrafted free agent out of Mercer College, played a lot of guard, but a lot of people project him inside to center at the next level. He's about 6 feet, 300 pounds, so he's wider than he is tall. He's a pretty amazing prospect, and he's got a cult following already. He ran a 4.9. He's really athletic, but I think this is the opportunity, guys, for Kyle Shanahan to take it to the next level of OWs, because I think this guy is a fullback in the NFL as much as he is a center or a guard in the NFL.
I sent you that clip. You watched that, right?
I've seen that clip of him, yeah, like running what routes. Pure hands, first of all, pure hands.
Fluid. I mean, I was like, this is a legit athlete moving at 6'3". There was no stiffness to his game. I think he's more stiff as a right guard than he is as a fullback running routes.
You know what's funny? He's actually built sort of top heavy, right? He's not necessarily a
Stand in the pants.
It's weird. It's weird that he would be sick. He's a really interesting prospect. It's weird that he would be that athletic at 6 feet, 300 pounds, but his weight is not low either. He's kind of, he's a weird prospect. He's a weird prospect. And maybe it's just that he's so short that he can stand up out of his stance and he doesn't have to worry. He can still be the low man. Maybe that's part of it. So he's never really had to play low because he's already been so low, but, an oddball, but he's so athletic. Seeing him just run routes out of the backfield looks supernatural.
See him in that heavy package, man. That'd be good.
Look, and he's going to be on the practice squad. It'd be shocking if he actually made the roster, but I want to see him in the preseason in the backfield at least one time. Let's just, can we have some fun, Kyle, please?
Got to have a secondary plan, right? For Juszczyk there. Come on.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, let's go.
And I think Josh Hokett's still around, right? On the roster somewhere. But yeah, if maybe the next OW up after Kyle Juszczyk is undrafted free agent Jason Poe. That'd be kind of fun. So no center, no safety.
Oh, the dick is center, just not in the actual draft. Just
well,
the
they
draft.
Didn't draft. Well, yeah. Right. So Donovan West, an interesting one. You're right though, Croc, because Donovan West, like throughout the draft, people are tweeting at me, and I was putting my list of okay, this is who I like best available in this round. You know, we're coming up on pick 93, and I listed some guys, and everyone, and I would so many people, but hey, Donovan West, center, Arizona State. 49ers love Arizona State. It's like, yeah. I was like, I would wait. I didn't really see it with him. The more I watched him, actually, the less I liked. And he's a fine prospect. I didn't think he'd go undrafted, but I just didn't think he was necessarily a third round guy. But when it got to fifth, sixth round, it's like, why has he not been drafted yet? He's a pretty young prospect. He played a lot of center, even though he's pretty young. So I don't know. Interesting. Interesting there that, and obviously the 49ers had, you know, some kind of grade on him because he was a priority free agent and they gave him a little bonus and he signed pretty quickly after the draft with the 49ers. And maybe he's the backup center. Maybe he does make the roster for the 49ers. And, you know, I would say there's probably just as good as a chance that Donovan West makes the roster as Brock Purdy does. So we'll see what happens there. Brock Purdy, wink. Is that a signal that the 49ers are ready to do something with Jimmy Garoppolo? They're just not telling us about it yet. Like they're planning to cut him, or maybe they have a deal in place that a team's going to come calling when he starts to throw. Because John Lynch did say on KNBR yesterday that he thinks it might pick up for Jimmy Garoppolo once he's thrown again.
Hey, he said they had some stuff ready to go, getting close.
And ready to go before surgery. The surgery. Yeah. I wonder what team he'd be on right now. He'd be a starting quarterback somewhere right now if he didn't have that shoulder surgery.
I truly believe that. Yeah. And when it comes to Mr. Irrelevant, you know, it's like, what's with them in Iowa State quarterbacks? Like, what's the deal there?
Has there been another one?
Oh, wasn't, what's his name? CJ
Beathard. Beathard was Iowa.
Oh, he's Iowa.
Oh, okay.
Same state.
State of Iowa.
Underrated, though. I had a game out there. I was in the Arena League my rookie year. We played against the Iowa Barnstormers. Warner, Kurt Warner.
Warner. Played for yeah. That
right.
Yeah.
Underrated party town. They had this thing you walk in and it was like all kind of bars. I mean, it was like popping. I was like, what the heck? Des Moines, Iowa? Who would have thought? It was not amazing. Me.
Wow. Incredible. No, I'm not sure he's going to make the squad, right? I mean, they love Sudfeld. Come on. He's the backup.
Well, they could. They've taken three quarterbacks numerous times, so they might just keep three. But right now they got four. So we'll see.
One's making a lot of money.
I will say, and we'll get deeper into the scouting report on Brock Purdy. I could see why Kyle Shanahan likes him. You know, quick decisions. He's got really good feet. Obviously, he's, you know, not a height, weight, speed monster or anything like that. That's why he was still around in the seventh round. But I can see why Kyle Shanahan would kind of like him. And I think he's got the perfect hand size to hold onto a clipboard real tight, too. So he could be a long-term backup for the San Francisco 49ers. Let's get into the Debo stuff and some of the offers the 49ers turned down during the NFL draft, what we think is going to happen there. With Debo Samuel and the 49ers roster. But first, I want to let the folks out there know about Built Bars and the brand new Built granola bars, and they're going fast. You need to get to Built.com quickly if you want to get in on the brand new Built granola bars with 15 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar in those, and that's what you're looking for. If you're looking for a snack, something healthy, something that is good for you, and most Built bars contain only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. And with summer coming along, you're going to be going on summer trips, on vacations, and you need food on the go. So make Built Bars that snack. It's the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Get them in your luggage, in your bags, in your kids' backpacks, in your car. Make sure that everyone has a bar so you are fueled for your summer adventures. Tons of great flavors. I love the peanut butter. They've got coconut marshmallow, churro coconut puff, double chocolate, cherry barcia, mint brownie. If you're not sure what flavor you want, get yourself a mixed box or build your own box of Built Bars with whatever flavors you want. And you can get 15% off with our promo code. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Debo Samuel, Wink, are you excited, disappointed? Are you anxiety-ridden about Debo Samuel? There's not really an end in sight to the Debo thing, but he's still a 49er. He did not get traded draft weekend. What were your thoughts as the Jets were kind of going on the clock there at pick number 10?
I thought something might happen. I was nervous. So I guess you could say that I'm excited, right? I mean, I don't want Debo to go anywhere. That guy's a great football player. You want him on your squad. And so it's obviously worrisome, you know, that he's clearly unhappy. There's something going on there. But the 49ers don't do deals right now. Like, that's not in their history. So there's a part of me that just says, hey, everybody just relax, you know, calm down. It's going to happen. Got to maybe take care of this Jimmy Garoppolo thing first. Then the money will be available. Like, I don't know. All I know is that the 49ers have a lot of leverage in this situation, and I'm glad that they didn't trade him away because, I mean, A.J. Brown, like, that deal blew me away. I'm just thinking, what in the world are the Titans doing? Like, how do you let a talent like that go for like, a small pick? Like, it didn't even seem like it was that much to me. I don't know. Maybe they don't have the money to spend because it's all spent elsewhere, but I'm glad the 49ers didn't do what the Titans did.
Yeah, and they didn't really have much of an opportunity because the reported offer now has come out, and Kroc and I talked about it that night on Thursday night after the first round, and it was supposed to be pick 10 and a pick swap. And we were like, well, what would the pick swap have been? Would that even been worth it? And we were thinking the 49ers would gain in the pick swap and maybe go from 61 up to 38 or something like that. And it's like, okay, that might be worth thinking about at least. But the pick swap would have been the 49ers losing value on that 10th pick. It would have been the 10th pick. The 49ers would have to give up their second rounder 61 and got a, what was the fifth rounder, Kroc?
Fifth back round.
I mean, that's crazy. So the 49ers would have had 10, and they wouldn't have selected again until 93.
That's why Kyle Shanahan, when they asked him about it, he was like, no. Didn't even think about it. No, didn't even
know. No real offers.
Like, no. Hell no.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was.
Or the Lions pick, or the Lions, which was likely 32 and a third round. And even then, it's like, I'm giving up Debo Samuel for the 32nd overall pick. Like,
yeah,
what's even the value there? Like,
and a third, right? And the 49ers already had 2 third round picks. What's another third round pick? You know, I mean, how many running backs can you have on your roster? So, anyway, the offers weren't good enough. So there's like, you can't even go to Debo. Like, Debo can't even like be mad about it because you can't be like, dude, there wasn't even an offer worth trading you for. Sorry, dude. You know, the league doesn't like you either. Take our offer. No, it doesn't need to be like, it doesn't need to be like that. But clearly, I think they made their play, right? Debo's side made the leverage play before the draft, tried to get something done. It worked for AJ Brown, same agent, right? Clearly, that's part of their playbook, right? So it's obvious where all this is coming from. It's coming from that side.
And, well, is there an issue with the money that these guys are being offered? You know, like you see some of the things that Adams and Tyreek Hill and what they're getting, and then your AJ Brown is like, why are you offering me $16 million a year?
Right.
And then your Debo Samuel, if he got anything in that range, you know, 16 to 19 million, it's like, dude, why the hell? Like, what are y'all doing? So yeah. I get it. I think Tennessee, and from what I've heard with the Tennessee situation, they weren't willing to not even consider moving off of 16. It was either you're going to take 16. And if it's not 16, well, there's just nothing that's going to be done. So let's just trade them and salvage the situation.
It's really weird because, AJ Brown, after the fact, said that they were offering him like 16, and he said he would have taken 22. So, and I think 22 is probably where the 49ers would be for Debo Samuel, too, because that's kind of where I thought it would be, 22 and a half, something like that. But that's a gap you can bridge, and you're not asking for a trade because of that. And it was like day one of negotiations. Like, my first response, like, there's two responses. Okay, first of all, that's too low. 16 million, and that's not what there's been no reports that the 49ers were there. And Debo himself said he hasn't gotten an offer. So it's not like there was a $16 million offer, right? That is stupid. But my response to that would still be, look, it's April or March or whenever those offers were made. Sack up and negotiate. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to, just because someone says 16, that doesn't mean you have to say yes to what the team's offer was. And just because the agent says, I want my guy to get 28 million, that doesn't mean the team has to say yes to that. Sack up and negotiate. The
first, what did Christian Kirk get?
In negotiations, you say, that's not how
Kirk ruined it. Kirk ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, because if Kirk got more than 16 a year, which I 19, I think
19. Well, this is what's frustrating about all of it. And I'm sure teams are looking at these deals like Tyreek Hill has a $43 million, $43 million salary in the last year of his contract. He's never going to see that. Mm-hmm. So you can't say that even he is getting what he's getting because he's not going to get that. So you can't quote me his average annual salary because his annual average salary isn't what he's actually going to get. And we know
it's still over
gone.
23.
Christian Kirk will not be a Jacksonville Jaguar under his current contract in 3 years. It won't happen.
Correct.
He might make it 2 years maximum. Yeah. It might be a 1 year deal. You know? So that's how you have to look at these contracts. So the agents are puffing up these contracts and they're like, hey, look, 28 million, 19 million. And you're like, no, this is 14 million and this is 24 million. You know what I mean? So that's also what's tough about it. And the players probably aren't even that in tune with it in some cases, you know, because they're getting told by the agents, hey, look, this guy got this. So we're going 25, not taking less. And so, I mean,
and that was Richard Sherman's point with a lot of it, right? Where people were coming at Richard Sherman and Matt LaFleur. What's his name? The guy, PF Pro Football Talk?
Oh, Mike Florio.
Pro Florio. You know, people, including him, I mean, they were killing Richard Sherman for his contract negotiation. And it's like, these dudes talk about my contract negotiation when these football players get, like, these trash fake contract offers and they sign those deals that were made up by these so-called agents who are better at negotiating than I am, you know? And I'm pretty sure Richard Sherman's thinking that, like, look, I played all 3 years of my contract.
Yeah.
And I got paid. And I was all pro. And at least I got things that were on my terms instead of some fake 1 year contract that a lot of these other guys are signing. Who's talking about right. that? And we did see some guys. He talked about JC Jackson and how JC Jackson's contract, how is JC Jackson getting well below the highest paid corner when he hit the market? Nobody's had more interceptions than him over like the last 4 years. He is the open market and still gets less and still doesn't come out the highest paid corner. And then a guy like Denzel Ward, who has same agent as Deebo Samuel, ends up being the highest paid cornerback in the league. So, yeah, there's a lot of fake contracts out there. So, yeah, I agree with that. Christian Kirk might be one of them, but Deebo Samuel is not trying to be one of them. He wants the real money.
You got to respect that, right? I mean, it's all about that guaranteed cash.
Yeah, and I think the guaranteed, it's a lot less than I thought. I guess it's the – so there's, you know, I'm learning, y'all. I'm learning. Yeah, my contract, I had 10,000 guaranteed.
This is a good point, though, because you see the guarantees – but the guarantees aren't like 100% guarantees. There's like, oh, here's a bonus over here, and the bonus is kind of over here, and it's a this kind of guarantee or an injury guarantee or
injury guarantee. So
the agent, the first number you see is the one that the agent puts out there, and so other players see that and be like, ooh, I want that deal, but that deal's not really what the deal is.
AJ Brown got 57 million guaranteed, but not fully guaranteed. It's like 40 million fully guaranteed, and then 57 with the injury guarantees.
Yeah, so and if you're looking at the numbers, $25 million per year, so 40 million guarantee, you're guaranteed through most of the second year of your contract, and guess what, year three you can get cut, right?
And so, probably will.
And for Deebo, okay, let's say so Deebo wants $25 million a year, right? Okay, 5 years, 125 million, right? 5 years, let's go $25 million per year, and the last year it'll be worth $40 million, and we're going to cut your ass. So guess what? Now you're making $21.2 million per year, right? So congratulations, Deebo. You got $25 million per year, but now we have to cut you and we can't do another deal with you in 4 years. And I think that's what the Titans and probably the 49ers, because if you're doing a deal with Tyreek Hill, you don't care about 4 or 5 years down the road for Tyreek. You're trying to get his value right now. The biggest one was Von Miller, 6 year contract. He's going to see 2 years of that, you know, and there's something like $60 million in the last 2 years of his contract that clearly he's not going to see, right? But there are older players that are going to be reaching sort of retirement age or an age that you don't care. You already know that the contract is shorter than what it was on paper, and they're going to be gone. But for Deebo Samuel, you kind of don't, like, he's hitting his first, his second contract. You probably want to be like, man, this guy's great. Let's sign him to a third contract. But if it's structured in a way that you're going to cut him before the last year, you won't have an opportunity ever to resign him again the next time unless you do some restructuring or something. And maybe that is still something that's a possibility. So you can do anything with funny money at the end of contracts. And I'm sure the 49ers can structure a contract where they pay Deebo what they're trying to pay him, but it looks like it's $25 million per year. And who knows, that maybe that's what the deal ends up looking like for the 49ers. And he actually gets $22 million. And then the last year, there's a whole bunch of money that he's never going to see. But then that would mean you have to cut him and you don't have an opportunity to re-sign him again after that. And for a younger player, you probably want the opportunity to see the third contract too, you know?
I just hope that if that's what it takes to get it done, then they get it done, right? I mean, as a 49er fan, that's what I'm looking for.
And, yeah, if you're the 49ers too, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. year four or five, I guess you're right. You're signing him for 3 years, and whatever that contract looks like in years four and five, you're not as worried about it because you're trying to get a deal done for now, and you can backload it. You can do a lot of different things and let the agent puff his chest out at the end and talk about money he's never going to see if he wants to. But that's just the way that contracts go in the NFL. So that's what makes all of this also so weird. And the guarantees is probably like the fully guarantees is where Debo should probably be looking. And even if you take less per year than what AJ Brown got, try to get those fully guaranteed dollars, because even if he never takes a carry as a running back again, just his physical style, you know, you might not last that long in the NFL. I'd be all about the guarantees if I was these dudes like that. And I think the league is starting to creep a little bit more towards guarantees. Obviously, we're starting to see a lot more of that. It just seems like the right way to go for any sort of a physical type of a player like Debo Samuel is. And that's not even counting the carries he's going to take.
Right.
I don't know. I don't want to go down this road. We're out of time anyway. But Debo Samuel's a 49. They're going to get a deal done. They're going to get a deal done. Did you see that he liked a post? This is what This is what people tell me about on social media. Debo Samuel apparently liked a post that said the 49ers and Debo Samuel can figure this out.
Good.
So they can.
It's true. They can.
They can. But will they?
Right.
And the leverage play is over. There's really no trade that would even make sense at this point.
How about at some point you start itching and want to get back on the field? You know, you start getting that it was cool. Like, football season ended. You had some time off. You had some time away. Okay, you know, you party a little bit, and then now guys are reporting the OTAs, and it's like, I miss my teammates.
Right. It'll be like right before mandatory minicamp or right before training camp. Debo Samuel will wake up one day and be like, oh my god. Thank God I did not get traded to the Detroit Lions. Let's go to camp. Let's not get fined $40,000 today, and let's go to camp. You know what I mean?
Right.
So Debo's staying with the San Francisco 49ers. Never in doubt, hopefully. And then we'll see what
happens. It was in doubt.
We were all never scared.
Never in doubt. All right, good stuff. Wink, thanks for joining us.
Hold on, real quick. Pika, there are some people out there that are taking like these victory laps, like it was all fake, like, you know, and it's like, dude, this is
over. A real situation.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I told y'all he was going to stay. And it's like, yeah, it's easy to say he's going to stay, but he legitimately requested to be traded. Like, that was a real thing. He wanted to be gone. They couldn't figure it out. John Lynch was up there at the podium looking like, I don't know, like his best friend just died. He's trying to figure out the situation. How do we figure this out? Teams really offered draft capital for him. Like, that was a real thing. And there are people out there like, oh, yeah, he was never going to get traded. Like,
I don't buy it.
People are crazy. I don't buy it. That's
never in doubt. Never in doubt. Debo Samuel will retire a San Francisco 49er. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening and making us your first listen every day. Croc and I back tomorrow. We're breaking down more prospects, more in-depth reviews of the 49ers 2022 draft class. Make sure you're listening to all the other podcasts right here on the network. Locked On NFL Draft, the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Go subscribe to the Locked On NFL channel to find us on YouTube. There, breaking down the entire league daily. Talk to you tomorrow right here. Locked On 49ers.
See you.